Open your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. Verse number 13. I'd like to read a lot more verses, but I will not. Before I read, would you look at me a minute? Let me bring you up to date. This is a story of Jacob getting right with his brother Esau. Don't forget this now. You remember the story. How that Jacob had tricked his brother Esau and tricked him. He caught him when he was weak and hungry and sold him the birthright. Now Esau gave his birthright. The birthright meant the right to have the priestly leadership of the family. It meant to be in the lineage of Jesus Christ. It also meant a double portion of the inheritance as the firstborn. And Jacob tricked him and stole his birthright. Then, later on, Jacob deceived his own father, who was blind, and they thought he was dying. And he got the blessing. Once again, there was material gain in that. And he got the blessing from his father, he thought he was dying, that Esau was supposed to have gotten. Though they were twins, Esau was the firstborn, and Jacob was holding on to his heel as he came out of his mother's womb, as you know. And so Esau was the right, was the one that should have had the birthright and the blessing. Jacob tricked him. 20 years passes. Jacob decides to make it right. And he decides to go back to Esau and make it right, and reread in verse 13 of Genesis chapter 32. And he lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother. Now that word present is very important for our study. 200 she-goats, 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 kine, 10 bulls, 20 she-asses, and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, pass over before me, and put a space betwixt drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asketh thee, saying, whose art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold, he, meaning Jacob, is behind us. Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight you'd help our people to listen carefully to this very important teaching of the Word of God. Bless our study to our edification. Amen. I sit up straight. Let me have your attention, your logic, as I try to lead your mind in discussing the science of getting right with each other. Now, folks, look at me. It is utterly impossible for anybody to live in a urban society and in a church with as many people and interacting like we do with people without there being some people that get little cattywampus with each other. I mean, here's a lady who teaches Sunday school, and she teaches a young lady whose mother teaches this lady's daughter or son in school. We go to school together. We go to college together. We come to Sunday school together. We come to church together. We have choirs together. We play sports together. We have our little league ball together. We have our social life together. We are interwoven here. Now, it is utterly impossible for you or me or anybody else to go year after year after year without there being some friction sometimes between each other. Now, tonight, I want to talk to you, and I want to give you, if you'll listen to me, you'll hear some things you never heard in your life before about the science of getting right with each other. Now, I want to make several statements, and the first one is very startling if you listen. Getting right with each other is not a mutual agreement. I will if you will. You can't get right with each other that way. You say, let's get together and make it right with each other. Now what you're saying is, let's get together and quit fussing. Or let's get together and feel better toward each other. But getting right with each other is not a mutual agreement of I will if you will. Statement number two. Getting right with each other is not just making up. It's not saying, from now on, we're going to love each other. You can love each other. Hear me carefully. You can love each other and not get right with each other. You can be kind to each other and bear the hatchet and not get right with each other. So, getting right with each other is not a mutual agreement of I will if you will. Getting right with each other is not making up with each other and making peace and starting to love each other again or to show that love. Number three, getting right with each other is not just asking forgiveness. You go to somebody and say, look, I've had something in my heart against you. I've done something wrong towards you, and I want your forgiveness. Now, they may give you that forgiveness, but you have not gotten right with them. Did you hear what I said? You have not gotten right with them just because they forgive you. Now, you may get along with them, and no longer that will you hold anything in your heart against them, and no longer will they hold anything, are you listening to me, anything in their heart against you. And that's wonderful, but that's not getting right with each other. I said, number one, getting right with each other is not a mutual agreement. It is not an I will if you will. I said, number two, getting right with each other is not making up with each other and getting along with each other and learning to be good to each other and show your love to each other and bearing the hatchet. I said, number three, it is not just asking forgiveness. If Brother Price and I here have been on the outs with each other, and I walk up and I say, Brother Price, I want you to forgive me. And he said, Brother Hiles, I want you to forgive me. And I forgive him. He forgives me. We hug each other and we start getting along well and love each other. We love each other. We've forgiven each other, but we've not gotten right with each other. Don't leave me now. Number four, and this is the most important statement I'm going to make, and I wish I could force you to listen. Getting right is a unilateral decision made by one person. Getting right. If Brother Colston and I are not right with each other, if I'm not right with him, I can get right with him even if he doesn't get right with me. He can hate me on the inside, but I can still get right with him. It is a unilateral decision made by the individual. And it is my decision. You don't have to agree with it. If Brother Colston wants to keep on hating me, that's okay. For example, I am right, honest to Pete, Scout's Honor, I am right with everybody I know in this world tonight. Now, everybody is not right with me, and that means we're not right with each other. But I can get right with them. People say, I tried to make it right, and he wouldn't let me. He can't keep you from it. Getting right is a unilateral decision that you make yourself. And I'm going to spend most of the time tonight on what that decision really is. All right? Number five, getting right does not need, and I've already implied this, getting right does not need reciprocation. That means that the other person doesn't have to get right with you for you to get right with them. Number six, hear me carefully. Getting right is a decision and an action. Listen to me now. Getting right is a decision and an action to do just. You're not right until you right the wrong. Let me illustrate. Now, don't get mad at me. And if you do, it's okay. I'm going to say it anyway. But listen carefully to me. You foolishly make a bunch of debts. And you can't pay those debts. And your creditors are after you, and you're about to get your wages garnished. And you go to some lawyer, and the lawyer helps you declare bankruptcy. Now, the courts say that you don't have to pay those debts. But you are not right with your creditors. Your creditors may say, I've forgiven you. You don't have to pay. Now, you will be right with them, but you did not get right with them. Now, you listen carefully to me. I'm not preaching against anybody here, but I'm telling you this. If you get in some stupid place where you've got to declare bankruptcy, you feel like you have to, that does not mean you don't owe those debts. And for some lawyer to call your creditors and say if he pays 10% of what he owes you, is that okay? That may clear you with them, but doesn't clear you with God. You still owe those debts. All this flippant way that our society says, okay, you don't have to pay. I can take you to lawyers that will call creditors and say, my client can't pay the debt, and would you take his 25%? You may just pay 25%, but you owe 100%, and you're not right with your creditors until you pay 100%. See, getting right is not learning to smile at each other. Getting right is not just learning to say, okay, all is forgiven. Getting right is when justice is done and you have paid what you have paid back what you did wrong. So, let me illustrate. You can be right and not yet right. For example, the prodigal son was right with his father. Listen to me. Look at me, young people. Prodigal son was right with his father when he came back home, but he didn't get right with his father. His father said, welcome home. All is forgiven. But he didn't get right. Now, just being right with somebody doesn't satisfy me. I want to get right with somebody. Let me illustrate. When I was a boy, society was a lot better than it is now, and I was the age of some of you guys down here. I was a Boy Scout. I think they called them, I don't know, I was probably 14, 15 years old. Young people, don't listen to me. I don't mean just look at me, I mean listen to me. I was a Boy Scout, and I was probably 15 years old at the time. Our scout troop met at a fire station in Oak Cliff section of Dallas. It was called Troop 107 at the Oak Cliff Fire Station. One day, by the way, our Boy Scout troop had a ball team. And one day I was playing catch out there in the driveway beside the fire station, sort of a little alley. And they told us not to play ball there. But we weren't going to play ball, just going to play some catch. So I threw it, and the ball got loose, and it went over the fellow with whom I was playing catch. It hit the windshield of a car behind him and shattered the windshield. The man that owned the car came out, the fireman, and he was furious. And he said, fellows, I told you, fellows, not to play ball out there. Well, we made some explanation like we weren't playing ball, just playing catch. He said, I meant don't throw that ball out there where those cars are. He said, you are going to pay for that windshield. I said, no, I didn't have any money. My daddy was gone from our house. My mother and I barely made a living. Well, we didn't make a living, really. I didn't have any money. And I told him, I said, mister, my daddy doesn't live at home, and my mama has to work hard, and I throw a paper. He said, you're going to pay for that windshield. Now, listen to me. He said, by the way, I can't get right with him just by asking forgiveness. I can't get right with him by apologizing. I cannot get right with him until I have paid him what I owe him. I worked 6 long weeks mowing yards. I went from house to house. I never got one dime of the money that I made. For 6 weeks, I mowed yards. I got that windshield half paid for. I'm talking about 8, 10, 12 hours a day for 6 weeks, for 5 and 6 days a week. And some of you guys go down and shoplift and don't even pay the guy back you stole from. After 6 weeks, the fireman came out one day over in the near Sunset High School where I was mowing a yard, and he felt sorry for me. I was small, and I didn't weigh 100 pounds. I was 15 years old. And he saw how hard I'd worked all summer long, 6 weeks, and I'd paid him half of the windshield. Listen, he said, son, you've worked enough. He said, you no longer owe me anymore. You have proved that you have character. Now, I became right with him. Is that right? Now, hear me carefully. He forgave my debt. And I was right with him, but I didn't get right with him. He said, you don't have to pay it. That made me right with him. But I wanted to get right myself. As a 15-year-old lad, I said, no, sir, I will pay that windshield off before school starts. I mowed yards and worked in yards for 6 more weeks. For 3 months, I didn't get one dime for myself. And by the way, young folks, there was a day when people had character like that in America. They weren't trying to get by with the thing to get by with. Nowadays, the first place, if the fellow had said, you don't owe me anymore, you say, boy, I'm glad for that. Okay, you are right. You are right with him if he forgives you the debt, but you didn't get right, and I want to do more than be right. I want to get right. So I worked the rest of the summer, paid off the windshield. Now I was right with him, and I got right with him. Listen, the word right in the Bible is a word that's a judicial word, has to do with justice, balancing the scales, and you're not right with somebody because you. If I'd asked forgiveness, he'd have said, you're forgiven. I would have been right, but I wouldn't have gotten right, and I'm not willing in life just to be right. I want to get right and pay what I owe somebody and give them back what I've taken from them, and I would not have gotten right. He would have made it possible for me to be right. But I wouldn't have gotten right. I would have been right because he got right and got me right. But I would not have gotten right myself. Now follow me carefully. Prodigal son. Prodigal son goes off in the far country. He spends all. He took the portion. Hey, before he left, he took the portion of the inheritance that was his. And he got it. He got it prematurely. He goes off in the far country. He spends it all. He goes in the hog pen. He gets sleep in the hog pen, feeding the hogs corn. He eats the husk. And thinking about himself, not what he'd done against his father. Thinking about what he'd done to himself, he said, my father's servants have it better than I have it. I will arise and go to my father. He came to his father. His father embraced him. Forgave him, put a coat on his robe on his back, shoes on his feet, ring on his finger, and he was right with his father, but he didn't get right with his father. And you can't get right with somebody. He couldn't get right with his father till he had worked and paid off what his father gave him. You listening? You know, if I were a young man growing up this age, I'd decide I was going to have character if I'd have anything else. I would decide whatever else I had. I'd decide not to just get by. I would decide not to just do what is required of me. I would do what I am supposed to do. Now, the prodigal son was right with his father because of his father making it possible for him to be right. Did you know that you can't be right? You can be right with God, but you can't get right with God. Are you listening to me? You can be right with God, but you can't get right with God. Because Jesus paid the price for you to become right with God. So you did not get right with God. He got right with himself for you, and you can become right with him by trusting Jesus, but you didn't get it. Like the lady was dying, an old story. Preacher came up and said, have you made peace with God? And she said, no, I haven't. He said, why don't you get saved before you die? She said, I'm saved. He said, you told me you hadn't made peace with God. She said, I haven't made peace with God. But he said, you said you're saved. She said, I am saved, but I have not made peace with God. Jesus made peace for me with God on the cross. Now, she was right with God, but she did not get right with God. See, Jesus got you right with God, and you became right with God. And I'm going to get back to that in a few minutes and show you something else, how, in a sense, you can get right with God, even though you're saved, and not right now. Now, let me tell you something about it. Did get right with God. Zacchaeus. Or he got right with his fellow man. Here's the prodigal son. He goes out, spends the money, comes back, his father forgives him, he becomes right with his father, but he did not get right with his father. His father made it possible for him to be right. Here's Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus gets saved, he's a tax collector. He gets saved and he says to Jesus, if I owe anybody anything, I restore unto him fourfold. He said, if I've cheated anybody out of any money, I'm paying him back fourfold. I'm talking tonight to hundreds of crooked people in this audience. I'm talking to people tonight because some businessman, now you listen to me, I'm not trying to hurt you, I'm trying to help you. Some businessman told you you didn't have to pay him. That means you don't have to pay him, and you're right with him, but you're not the one that initiated the right. And that doesn't satisfy me. I want to make right myself before I am right. Zacchaeus made it right. Why? Because he brought back fourfold what he had taken. Now let's go to our story here. Follow me carefully. Go to our story. Jacob had stolen from Esau. Jacob had deceived Esau and gotten things that he did not rightly deserve. He takes those things and goes 500 miles away back to the homeland, and for 20 years, he's away from Esau. Now, Esau was the bad guy here because Esau was going to kill Jacob. And of course, Jacob was a bad guy too because he'd been a cheater. But Jacob, after 20 years, he says, I need to get right with Esau. Brother McClair, you stand up right there, would you please? You're going to be Esau, and I'm going to be Jacob. All right, you come up here, and here comes Esau, and here comes Jacob. And I, as Jacob, say, Esau, I want you to know I'm sorry for what I've done. I want you to forgive me. Now, that is not getting right. If he forgives me, would you forgive me?
Yes.
Okay, now we're right. I'm right with him because I don't owe him anything anymore. But I didn't make it right. He made it right. Character, hear me carefully, character makes it right yourself. All right, get back over there, Esau. Stand over there. Here I am, Jacob. I want to get right with my, I want to make it right with my brother. I want to do more than be right with him. I want to get right with him. This is so foreign, I feel like I'm teaching Greek or Hebrew. Because the truth is, not one out of 10 people in this room give a flip about it. As long as you don't have to pay it, that's all that's up to you. And you need a good old baptism of old-fashioned character. I happen to grow up in a generation where even unsaved people live like this. Unsaved people had more character than the average person sitting in this room tonight. So I want to make it right. How did Jacob make it right? Would you round up, please, a bunch of these animals over here? Would you round up a bunch of these animals over here? Would you round up a bunch of these animals over here? All right, now these guys have these animals. Wait a minute now, listen. Jacob just made it right. Fellows, I'm going to give these to Esau. We're not talking about a blackmail. We're not talking about a bargain. We're talking about a just debt. He stole from his brother. He didn't come back after stealing and say, would you forgive me? No, sir. He said to these fellows, you go on ahead and you tell him. Then he asks you, what are all these animals? What's all these possessions? You tell him it's a gift from me to him. So you go meet him. He comes out and meets them. And he says, what are all of these animals here? And they say, this is from Jacob.
We're his servants, our master Jacob. Now listen carefully, folks. Esau didn't want all of that, but Jacob needed to offer it to him. And Jacob got right with Esau before he saw Esau. He got right with God when he decided to pay what he owed. Now you listen. And I don't know who's declared bankruptcy and who hadn't, but if I knew, I'd go ahead and say what I'm saying. And it's not just declaring bankruptcy. Listen to me. You go to McDonald's and you drive a 92, 93, 94 automobile and you buy new clothes. Now, I'm not against going to McDonald's. I've done it. I'm not against a new automobile. Nothing wrong with that. But I am against you doing it with somebody's money that's not yours. And you have no right to go to McDonald's. I mean, you have no right to go one time. As long as you owe somebody some money, even though your lawyer called them and they said they'd settle for 25% or 50%, or in some cases 10%, or in some cases they'll forgive the debt altogether. Character says, I'm not trying to get him to bargain with me so we can be together and be friends again. I have got to get what I owe paid and settle in my heart. I've got to do more than be right. I've got to make it right myself. Thank you, fellas. So, Jacob got right when he got the payment ready. Illustration. You go down to the store and you see some merchandise. There's a price tag on that merchandise. You say, I'd like to have that merchandise. I can afford it. You give me the merchandise. I'll give you the clerk the money. And that's it's being right with them. You go down to the store and you see some merchandise and you see the price and you see that you can't pay for it. And you take that merchandise yourself and you shoplift that merchandise. And you go out and you use that merchandise and squander it, or use it up. Then you go back to the owner of the store, maybe if you have any conscience, or maybe your dad or mother or some friend found out you did it. And you go back and say, I took this merchandise, I've come back to make it right. You cannot make it right till you pay him for what you got. Plus the interest on the money that you had that he couldn't invest. Now, you listen to me, folks. You listen carefully. There are a lot of people sitting in this room right now who are right with each other, but you didn't get right. It was their mercy that made you right and not you that made you right. And unless you got right, you don't deserve any credit whatsoever. You go up and ask a fellow to forgive you, and he says he forgives you. And now you're together, you're one. And you get along with each other, and all is forgiven, and all is forgotten. You deserve not that much credit. Let me tell you something, brother. Do you think an I'm sorry is sufficient for stealing? For example, I'm talking to hundreds of people in this room who are financially have not made it right with God. You tithe when you can. But with the time you don't tithe, you still owe that money to God. I'm talking to folks right now that owe God 10 years of back tithes. You got the idea when you say, okay, I'll start tithing, that's necessary, and I'm paid up with God. No, sir. From the first dollar that you ever made, you owe God one-tenth of that dollar, and you owe it to him until you make it up. You say, God's forgiven me. Okay, he may have forgiven you, and you may be right with him, but you didn't make it right. He did. And brother, it's not enough for me just to feel forgiven. I want to feel like I've done what I'm supposed to do to make it right. Boy, this is good. Not many amens like if I was preaching against watching soap operas. Because some of you rascals holler amen about the soap operas. You're as guilty as you can be tonight what I'm talking about. You know what the old-time evangelists used to preach on? Dr. John Rice, we used to preach those 4- and 5- and 6-week revivals. He'd preach one whole sermon on paying your debts. One whole sermon. Paying your debts. But you've got that little stinking credit card. And because you got it, you think you can have anything you want in the store. And then you get so far in debt, you can't do anything about it. And then you come and say, I'll declare bankruptcy. And the lawyer, who's as crooked as you are, he'll help you declare bankruptcy. I have never in... Listen, there is in chapter 11 and chapter 13, depending on whether it's business or personal. If you're so far in, you can't get out, there is a way that you can make arrangements to where you can keep on paying. Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you made a payment? I intend to pay someday. Someday won't do. How much did you pay today? Everything's yours quiet in here. It's quiet because nobody likes for character to get preached on. I'll tell you one thing. A lot of you young preachers are going to get out of here. And I got a letter last week. A fellow said, I did some work on one of your college young men's car. And he said, he told me he'd pay me. He said it's been months and he hasn't paid me yet. Let me tell you something, sonny boy. Don't you expect me to recommend you to a church someday? If I hear about a church calling you, I'll pick up the phone and call him and say, don't get that crook. He's not honest, and you shouldn't have a crook behind the pulpit. Now, you listen to me. You are not right with somebody. You did not make it right with somebody because they forgave you. You make it right when you reimburse them for whatever you did wrong against them, whether it's money, whatever it is. Now, follow me carefully. You can be saved and be right with God without ever having it making it right with God. We said, come down this aisle and get right with God. In the first place, you can't get right with God. You can come and trust the Savior and He'll make you right, but you can't get right. But wait a minute. There's one way that you can get right with God. When He died on the cross, He died to purchase you. My Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, 18-20 that you're not your own, you're bought with a price. All right? So when you get saved, you're right with God, but you haven't made it right with God because He bought you. You trust Him. You're not right with God. Hear me carefully. You're not right with God until you give Him what He bought. And He bought you. He bought your life. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't want to go to heaven an unjust person. I'm saying on the cross, he died on the cross to get you to heaven. But that's His getting you right. He made it right. Now, if you are going to be right, you've got to give Him your life. He bought it. It's His. It's not yours. I get so sick of Christian people just wanting to get saved and go to heaven, and that's the size of it. There is a getting right with God, but that getting right with God is not getting saved. That getting right with God is when you say, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow Thee. I'm talking to folks tonight who are right with each other. I'm talking to a lot of people, you didn't make it right. What have you done? Well, can I ask you a question? You criticized somebody. You gossiped about somebody. You spread some stuff that wasn't true about somebody. And you think, now you listen to me, you think that all you got to do is go to them and say, I'm sorry and I want you to forgive me to make it right. No, sir. They can forgive you and you can become right, but you didn't make it right and you've not made it right till you go back and retrace every step you took against them and tell the people that you were a liar. Everybody, you told something wrong about that fella. You go back and say, I was wrong, he was right, I lied, I'm a scandalizer, I'm a gossip. I want to tell you, the fella's a good guy, and whenever you've gone to everybody that you told what you told, and you spread what you spread, and told him you're wrong, then you have made it right with that fella. But would you please forgive me? I get letters with the droves. I want to puke on all of them. Dear Brother Hiles, I have done you wrong. I have said some terrible things about you. I realize that I was wrong, and I want you to forgive me. And all that stinking idiot wants, he wants to go to sleep at night because he thinks he's forgiven. Well, brother, I don't sleep because I'm forgiven. I sleep because I've made it right. So I write him and forgive him. Sure I do. I'm glad to forgive him. And I'm not upset with him. But he hasn't made it right yet. He hasn't made it right till he's retraced every step he took. Now listen to me. Has anybody you criticized? And all you've done is gone to him or written him and said, would you forgive me? I'm sorry. I wronged you. Would you forgive me? Brother, if they forgive you, bully for you. And I'm glad they did. And you're no longer obligated, except you're obligated to your own character and decency. Are you listening to me? I hope somebody here is listening. Because this is not the popular kind of preaching. You want to walk on golden streets and gates of pearl. Because you'll dig them up and sell them. You have not made it right till you do what Jacob did. You're the prodigal son. Father, forgive me. I have sinned in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. I'd like to punch him out. He didn't deserve that ring. He didn't deserve that robe. He didn't deserve that pair of shoes. He didn't deserve that meal they had in his honor and that party they threw. It was the Father's grace that did that. Now, I think, and maybe he did this, but if he'd have said, Daddy, how much am I going to get paid for working in the fields now? His daddy said, so much. He said, Daddy, how long would it take me, hear me now, how long would it take me to pay off what I took? And his daddy said, son, it'll take you 2 years. If he works for 2 years and then that pays off everything he took, at that moment he is right. He's made it right. Now, being forgiven makes you right, but character says, I want to make it right myself. Who do you owe money to? There are people here who owe money to folks, and you've owed it for years and years and years and years. You said, Brother Hiles, I'm right with God now. Yeah, you are, but you didn't make it right. God forgave you, and maybe they forgave you, but you had nothing to do with it. You still use the money. And you are crooked. Well, I'll take my membership and go somewhere else. Yeah, I know. Go somewhere where a guy's got lace on his underwear where he won't tell you that you're crooked. Go somewhere where the preacher's like you are. I want to tell you something. There's something more to Christianity other than not smoking, not drinking, not watching soap operas, not watching the movies. There's something more. There is a justice to Christianity that I want not only to be right, I want to get right. If someone forgives you a debt, you're right. But you didn't get right. They made you right. That ball goes through that. Let me say again. That's why Jacob was right with Esau. Esau didn't want what Jacob had. But Jacob needed to offer what he had. And I threw that ball through that window. Hey, listen. I was a 15-year-old kid. I was a Boy Scout. And some of you people owe a whole lot more than that. And you're doing nothing about it. But you'll go to rallies after church tonight. You'll get you a Whopper tomorrow. But maybe after this Bible study, you'll be Whopper Junior. At least I'll help you some. And all you're doing is taking somebody else's money and feeding your gut with it. You say, you go to McDonald's and Burger King. I did sure do, but not on somebody else's money, I don't. Oh, it's so good to be forgiven. Did you know there's something in everybody that has any conscience at all makes him want to pay for his debt? You know, that's why we expelled you from school. To force you to have the joy of paying for what you got. You got to break the rules. So we expel you from school. And you will feel better if you pay that debt than if you get by with what you did. If that man had said to me, Jack, I know you're poor, and I know your mother is poor and your dad is not. He knew all of that. He said to me, I want you to pay that windshield. He did me a favor of favors. If he had said, you don't have to pay for it, I forgive you, I would have been right, but Jack Hiles would not have made it right. I would have accepted the rightness that he purchased. And then in the middle of the summertime, he came to me and said, look, son, you've worked hard. You don't have to make it anymore. I said, sir, I'll pay for the windshield. I will pay for the windshield. I could have said, okay, it's all forgiven. I won't pay anymore. And I would have been right. But he would have made it right. And I wouldn't have made it right. And so for 6 more weeks, I worked. And I mowed yards. And I edged yards. I dug flower beds. And then whenever I got to the place to where that last day I worked, and I went home that night and went to bed, you're looking at one guy that felt good. I had not only become right, but I had gotten right. Anything anybody you ought to get right with? You say, preacher, I didn't know it was that hard. I was telling you. All he had to come say, I'm sorry, old buddy, I'm so sorry. And you say, are you fine? I'm forgiven.
You're forgiven.
Oh, hug me. Oh, we're right with each other. No, we're not. You still owe me. No, we're not right. Well, I got to say, guess what? Ray Borman, I had something against, and hey, I made it right with him. No, I didn't make it right. I went there and cried with him. And I have not made it right until I restore unto him that which I got. Whether it was his reputation or his money, whatever it was, I have not gotten right. That's a wonderful thing to be right. It's infinitely more wonderful to get right. Why don't you decide to get right? Close with this. I was out in California this morning. Bruce Goddard drove me to the airport. I love to hear these guys tell about their days in Hiles Anderson College. He told me how he went to college in the daytime and then had a nighttime job, but he had a second daytime job. You hear that? Here's a married man. Goes to college by day, has a nighttime job and a second daytime job, and some of you little single pipsqueaks can't even pay your own bill. If I were you, I wouldn't look in the mirror when I shaved. I wouldn't want to see a pipsqueak when I shave. He told me how that for a while he couldn't stay right with his creditors and have a car. So he didn't have a car. He got a bicycle. He told me about riding that bicycle down 85th Street. He told me how the other day he was here and he stayed till 3 o'clock in the morning, stayed out there at the college, looking at the college where he'd ridden his bicycle down 85th Street, remembering those days. You reckon that may be why that guy has done something nobody's ever done in the history of America, built a church for 10 years in a tent? Oh, you say it's that charisma. You don't build a church on charisma. You build a church on character. some of you little pipsqueaks. I didn't intend to preach on the college kids tonight, but I think I will. You have free meals, or you pay meals in the dining hall. And you could eat in the dining hall, but you're too good to eat that kind of food. You want to eat McDonald's food. So you take money you don't have to spend because your precious stomach is too good for the dining hall meals. Wouldn't hurt you to eat a green bean or two every once in a while. Wouldn't hurt you to trade some of those French fries for some lettuce every once in a while. And you're out there spending money. There are people, and I think I'll just say this too. If everybody in this room tonight would get right with Hiles Anderson College, we wouldn't have a financial crisis. The only bills that you pay are the ones that say we're going to take you to court if you don't pay. Your character doesn't cause you to pay for a dime. You got hospital bills for four babies ago you haven't paid for yet. Boy, I feel like I'm an Episcopalian funeral. I've never done this, but I wish you could. I wish you could look at the books of Dr. Streeter, either one of them, and see how many people in this room have owed them for years. I wish you could look at the books of a guy like Warren Storm, mechanic, and see how much money people in this room owe him. And if he came to you and said today, you don't owe me one penny. Let me tell you a story. When I was in college, my Uncle Harvey called me in. He was not my mother's brother. He was married to mother's sister. So he wasn't actually in the family except by marriage. He was a big, wealthy man. He knew we were poor. He called me and said, "Son, I'd like to see you." I went to Dallas. Uncle Harvey said, "Son, I want to help you get a car." He said, "I'll let you have this car," and he gave it to him for almost nothing. I mean, it was worth twice what he asked him to pay for it. Then he said, "I'll send you for the first 6 months. It'll cost you $100 a month payment, and I'll send you for the first 6 months the $100 so you can pay it for 6 months." Okay, I did that. First month, he got the check on the third instead of the first. On the second of the month, Uncle Harvey got on the phone, called me. He said, "Where's my money?" I said, "Uncle Harvey, you almost gave me this car. You gave me money to make the payment." I said, "This is the second. It's only one day late." He said, "If I don't get it but tonight, I'll foreclose." I said, "I thought you loved me." And he said, "I love you enough to make a man out of you." And I thank God for it. And I'll tell you one thing, brother. The rest of the payments on that car were there on the 29th. It is one thing to be right because somebody's made it possible. It's another thing to make it right and to get right yourself because you have taken care of the retribution and you have taken care of balancing the scales. Whatever you took from them, you owe to them. So, I think I'll just sit down and talk to you a minute. So you've been sitting down on the job like this, and the boss hasn't caught you. So you've been working 7.5 hours for 8 hours pay. You've been doing that for a year. You owe him that much time. You go to your boss and say, "Boss, I want you to know I'm sorry. I've been hiding from you 30 minutes a day. I've not been working during that 30 minutes. And the boss says, "Okay, I appreciate your character." "That's not character. I appreciate your character," he says. And it's all right. All is forgiven. Forget it. Now what you ought to do is say to him, "For 2 years I've taken 30 minutes a day. For 2 years I'm working 30 minutes more every day. And whenever you work that last 30 minutes, you have made it right with him." But until you do, you may be right with him, but you haven't made it right with him. One of our students borrowed some money from me. supposed to pay it back in 6 months. Wasn't a great deal of money, but it was enough where... And I didn't mind him having it. I'd have given it to him. But he didn't pay me. I called him in. I said, "Where's my money?" He said, "Brother Hiles, I thought you loved me. I love you enough to see to it you're going to be honest." He said, "But Brother Hiles, I won't have any food money." I said, "I want it. I want it now." He said, "This is all I got in the world, but here it is." And I took it and I said, "Son, you've made it right. Now you take the money. I take it back." He wrote me a check and I tore it up. "Now don't you get your hopes up. You owe me some money." I am talking to hundreds of people in this room tonight who think you have made it right with somebody because they have forgiven you. But you have not made it right. They have made it right, and you are right with them, but you're not making it right with them, and you have not gotten right with them until you have paid back what you took. Prodigal son? No. Jacob? Yeah. Prodigal son? Esau? I'm sorry. Zacchaeus? Yeah. Prodigal son was right with his dad because his dad made it right, but Esau was right, Jacob was right because he made it right. Shall we stand?